Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Jamie Ward.
Hey, hey, that's awesome. You're the man. Thank you. Thank you. You are awesome. Thank you. I thank you. I appreciate you all. It's so hard because I'd like to just take the first 10 minutes and me just come down and hug everybody, but they told me I can't. And so, but I want you to know, I mean, if anybody has felt covered in prayer and has felt loved and cared about, me and my family have. And man, I just love you all and so much, and I appreciate you all very much. Yeah, I got a new book coming out. It's called How to Lose 23 Pounds in 9 Days. So you may not want to go that route. But I, you know, the doctor says I had to be careful about being around folks, but I just felt good today. And Jeff was all ready to go. And so when I saw him this afternoon, I said, man, let's just wait. Let's just see. Because I said, I feel good. And especially because of the passage that we're on. Yeah, just it hits so close to home. Especially, you know, a lot of times when you're a pastor and you're at the hospital, you're on the other end of that. You know, you're usually not the person that's laying there. And I'd never been to the hospital one day in my life. And then was there 9 days. And so I was back there just praying. We're going to be in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 43. But for some crazy reason, I always like to read the verse that's right before the verse I'm going to preach. And listen to this. They said to the woman, talking about the Samaritan woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. In all my life, I've believed that Jesus is the Savior of the world. All my life, I believed that Jesus could heal people. But I'm going to tell you, man, I'm here tonight and I know it. I know it. When you have been there. And I want to share just a few things with you tonight that I hope will be an encouragement to you, because every one of you have been such an encouragement to me. If you sent food, if you sent a card, if you sent an email, if you were praying, I want you to know how that has profoundly touched my life and my wife and our kids. And man, it's just been incredible, because for me, every card that was sent, Jesus sent it. And every meal that came to the house, Jesus prepared it. You know, and every email I got, you know, saying that, man, I'm praying for you, you know, Jesus sent it. And it's His arms, and it's His words, and it's His actions, and it's Him reaching out. And so what's so exciting about tonight is Jesus comes back to a place He had already been. And you remember the first miracle took place at a wedding. And you remember that in this wedding, Jesus had turned the water into wine. And you know, I always heard crazy stories. I heard about the guy that, you know, the officer pulled him over. And officers, you know, because the guy was swerving all over the road. And officer said, sir, what have you been drinking? And he says, officer, I promise you it's water. And the officer took it and said, that's not water, that's alcohol. And the guy said, Jesus did it again. Well, it's not quite like that. And in this moment, Jesus performs His first miracle at this wedding. But He comes back to the place another time, and He performs another miracle. I want you to listen to this. Once more He visited Cana in Galilee, where He had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to Him and begged Him to come and heal his son who was close to death. I learned so much from this story. How many of you got kids? Raise your hand if you got kids. How many of you are married to a kid? Okay, all right, that covers almost all of us. And you think about what you wouldn't do for your kid. You'd make a fool of yourself. I mean, you'd tackle somebody in Walmart to get that last toy that your kid wanted. One thing that had happened And in our house is our 7-year-old got pneumonia. And my wife stayed up with him like 2 or 3 nights in a row with no sleep, just listening to him breathe, because he already has some lung issues. And that's part of why I just wanted to stay out of her way. And I thought, well, I'm fine. I don't feel real good, but I'll be okay. And then I'm reading this story about this father whose son was about to die. And the Bible says he went to Jesus and he begged him to heal his son. How many of you would not do that if that was your child? Now, we might not do it for ourselves. We might not go to Jesus on our own behalf. We may not beg him for anything on our own behalf. But for our children, we would do that. I think we learned something incredible here. That Jesus cares about you. That Jesus cares about your life. And one thing that we see here, the first thing that we've got to learn from this story, this man had a need. And he went to Jesus. Now, we don't know the whole story. We don't know who he went to first. And we don't know what he turned to first. And we don't know how many other places he went that were the wrong places, the wrong people, listened to the wrong advice. We don't know that. And I feel pretty confident to tell you, even though the Bible doesn't tell us, that he probably went down some wrong roads first. Now, why would I say that? Because now his child is at a point of death with an illness. But at some point, this guy realizes the only hope my son has is Jesus. And so listen. So he went to Jesus. Now, I know that's not profound. And maybe you're getting ready for something. And my first point is he went to Jesus and you're feeling like, oh, well, that's kind of obvious. I don't know that it's obvious. I don't know, because let me tell you, if God showed me anything 9 days in the hospital, let me just be really, and I've always just been honest with you, so you guys, if you got me on a pedestal, it's because you haven't heard me enough. If I learned anything in 9 days, what you learn when you're laying there that long, and a lot of you already know this, when you're laying there that long, it becomes very obvious what you're holding on to in your life. It becomes very obvious what you have put your hope in your life. And I'll just be really honest with you. Those 9 days in the hospital, it became very obvious to me that over some period of time, I don't know how long, I don't know when, but I wasn't holding on to Jesus. I was kind of hanging on to me and hanging on to any ability, any talent, you know, worrying about what people think about you. That's what I was holding on to. And when none of those things could be resources for me, when none of those things could get me to the next step, to the next level, when all I could do was lay there, Jesus showed me what I'd been holding on to. And that's really hard. That's really tough. Now, I want you to know, you come out the other side of that thanking God that he showed you that. Because guess what? What I went through, God got me through it, but something else is around the corner. Don't we know that? Something else is around the corner. And those talents and abilities and gifts, they're not going to get me through that. And so Jesus has shown me a phenomenal thing in my life. I want to ask you tonight, what are you holding on to? I mean, really. Really, what are you holding on to? Because the temptation is, on Wednesday night, when you're asked the question, what are you holding on to? The temptation is for all of us to say, oh, we're holding on to Jesus. Are you? Are you really holding on to Jesus? I mean, are you really? You see, the story shows us here that this father came to some kind of point where all he had was Jesus. There was nothing else. His kid is going to die. There's nothing else he can do. So all he can do is hold on to Jesus. And he goes to Jesus. So I'm laying there in the hospital, and all I can do is talk to Jesus. That's it. And in that moment, it felt like, well, that's all I could do. You know, like there were greater things that I just wasn't able to do. Right? What are you holding on to? I mean, what do you really, what's going to get you through in this season? Or maybe the season that's not even here yet. Mildred and I were talking, because we were talking about this message. It's about miracles, and we know Jesus is getting ready to perform what the Bible says is the second miracle in this time period. And it's so funny that Jesus, we feel like Jesus provided a miracle for us that we didn't even know we needed. Now listen to me. We didn't know we needed that miracle. We didn't know what my shape was. We were told I'd be in the hospital for a day, get some fluid pumped in me, and we felt like I'd be on my way home. And it didn't happen that way. But Jesus had already provided a miracle that we didn't even know that we needed. Now, I pray tonight that that's hopeful for you. Because we don't know what's around the corner. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what storms are headed this way. If you feel like you just got out of a storm, there's another one that's coming. You can almost be assured of that. And so what have you learned in this last storm? The last storm you've gone through, or maybe the storm you're going through now. What have you learned? Because Jesus, the question he kept asking me is, what are you holding on to? And it is a pretty sad realization to say, I guess I'm holding on to me. And you realize that's the same as holding on to nothing. Because I can't get me through it. I can't get you through it. I can't get my kids through it. What are you holding on to? Listen to the second thing. It said he heard Jesus was coming. The first thing was he went to him. The second thing was and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Now that when we think of the word beg, it probably brings up a lot of images, or you think of a lot of things, maybe even how you'd be in your body laying on the ground begging somebody for something. And I'm afraid that for a lot of us, we've become too dignified to beg. Now I don't think Jesus responded with a miracle because the guy begged. My point in this is the guy begged out of total desperation. That there was truly nothing else. Have you ever been to that point? Have you ever been there when there was nothing else and about all you could do was beg? We need to get back to moments like that in our lives. Realizing Jesus is all we have, and the great hope in that is He's all that we need. And that He's going to be there and He's going to meet every need. No matter how much you feel like you're never going to get out of this season, no matter how much you feel like you're never going to get out of this valley, wondering if there really is anything to get you through, we got to know, we've got to go to Jesus. And listen, the Bible says that we can have confidence to boldly approach the throne of God and ask anything. Ask for anything. And this guy comes and he begs Jesus to heal his son. So we've got to go to Jesus. And I think most of our churches are full of people who think in their heads that they go to Jesus, but they really don't. But I mean to really go to Jesus. Second thing is, and to beg and to ask, because that's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that Jesus is, that we can go to Him in full vulnerability, with all transparency, and beg Him. Now, I think this is powerful in the story because it shows that desperation. And I don't know that we allow ourselves to feel that too much anymore. And we don't allow ourselves to get to that point, even though maybe inside you're feeling it, but to say, Lord Jesus, I need You. Oh, Jesus, I need You. Jesus, I need a miracle. And how many of us are comfortable to do that today? Listen to what happens here. This is so powerful because of Jesus' response. Jesus says this, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. Now think about Jesus saying that. Why is Jesus saying that? I mean, the guy has come. And the guy's asked Jesus, Hey, can you heal my son? I mean, the question's been asked. The guy has begged. He's at a point of desperation. He's gone to Jesus. But you see, Jesus is speaking to everybody that's there, not just this guy. And Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, unless you see miracles, you will never believe. I think what's at the heart of this is Jesus is saying, this shouldn't be a revelation to you that I can heal the boy. This shouldn't be a revelation to you that I can get you through this, because I've already told you who I am. You've already witnessed some of these things. You've heard about the Messiah who was to come. I mean, you know what's out there. And Jesus is saying, but you're not going to believe unless you see a miracle. See, I want you to hear this. Because what Jesus says after this, the guy, Jesus has just said, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. And listen to this, this is kind of funny. The royal official says, sir, come down before my child dies. I mean, Jesus has just made an incredible statement. Unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. And this begging father is saying, okay, everybody get that? Okay, now Jesus, can we do this now? And Jesus replies, oh, church, listen to this. You may go, your son will live. You may go, your son will live. And then to me, this next part is the most powerful part. Look at that. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. That's powerful to me because I do not always take Jesus at his word. You know, tell me again, Jesus. Well, show me something. Now, I know, Jesus, you said it's going to be okay, but can you show me something? Can, like, there be two sons? Or something like that, or, you know, can the clouds spell out something? I mean, I know you said it's going to happen, Jesus, but, I mean, could you just show me, you know, something? Can you get me down Scottsville Road in like 7.5 minutes? I mean, God, that would prove it to me. The man took Jesus at his word. Now, how powerful is this picture? I mean, here's this guy. We already see that he's begging Jesus to heal his son. And I don't know what that looked like physically. I don't know if he's hanging on to Jesus' knees. Jesus, please. And Jesus is trying to give a theological lesson, wobbling because this guy's holding on to him, you know. I don't know what it looked like. But when Jesus said, go now, your son will live, the father got up and he went on his way. Because he took Jesus at his word. What's Jesus telling you? What's he been telling you? Why don't you trust him? Why don't you take him at his word? Because I tell you this, I've searched the scriptures. Pastor Jeff knows more about the Bible than I do. And we would agree that nowhere in here did Jesus ever tell a lie. Nowhere here in the scriptures did he ever deceive people. I mean, the guy didn't go home and they said, man, your son's dead. You know, and Jesus just told him your son will live so he'd get out of his way, get out of his hair. But he took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. You know the picture I see here? The picture I see here, it reminds me, when I was in college, I had a good friend. And one of my life's ambitions in college was to pull as many pranks on people as I could. I know that surprises you that I'm like that. But he was using the computer in my room. And I was down in the lobby. And there was a way that you could tell when your phone rang if somebody was calling you from on campus or off campus. And I dialed the phone in such a way that it rang, it sounded like it was coming from off campus. And this guy answers the phone, and I told him that I was this man named Ed Sparrow, who owned a record company. And I said, and we're thinking about giving Jamie a record contract. And I said, what do you think about Jamie? And of course, all these people are around me and they can all hear. And he's saying, listen, man, Jamie's one of my good friends. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, I think he'd represent your company. You know, and this guy's all excited. Well, I get to laughing so hard. I hand somebody the phone. They said, Mr. Sparrow's having a coughing spill. He'll call you back. And they hang up. So we're all dying laughing. And I go to call him back. And nobody answers my phone. And I know what's happening. So I go outside the dorm I was in, and he comes sprinting around the corner as fast as he can. And he runs, he's like, Jamie, oh my gosh, Jamie, you're not going to believe who just called. I mean, and finally I was like, Rick, don't say anything. He's like, you're not going to believe it. I was like, was it Ed Sparrow? He's like, oh my gosh, how did you know? I was like, well, it was me. I was just joking. And he just looked at me. And he walked away. And seriously, for like 3 days, he wouldn't talk to me. But when he came sprinting around that corner and the look on his face, and I mean, he was running as hard as he could. That reminds me of the servants of the royal official. That he's walking on his way home. I don't get this impression he was in any kind of big hurry. Why? Because his son is going to live. Jesus told him. And so he, in full confidence, taking Jesus at his word, he's just on his way home. He may have stopped at McDonald's right there to eat. I mean, this guy's not in a hurry because he knows his son's going to be okay. But the Bible say his servants meet him. And I have that picture that they're sprinting towards him. And they've got this look on their face like they've got the most incredible news. You're not going to believe this. And the guy's saying, no, don't say it. I know. My son's alive. And he knew that because Jesus told him that. Jesus told him that. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. He inquired as to the time when his son got better. And they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the 7th hour. And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus has said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Let me close by saying this. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. The man took Jesus at his word. Jesus said, your son will live. And he believed that. Tonight, I believe there are things that Jesus has been telling you. And I want to plead with you tonight to take Jesus at his word. To believe him. He's trustworthy. He's never deceived anyone. He's never lied to anyone. And I want you to know that you can trust him. Man, I was laying there in that hospital and I felt like it would never be okay. I felt like it would never be the same. And part of that's just that depression that starts to set in. Even though I'd already felt like Jesus said, yeah, I'm taking care of you. This is going to be okay. Even though Jesus said that, I wouldn't take him at his word. I said, well, we'll see, Jesus. We'll see. So I want to encourage you to do something I wish I'd been doing about 23 or 24 days ago. To hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Not only is he all that you need, he's the only hope that you have. No matter where you find yourself, hold on to him. It's one thing to proclaim that, hey, I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. But it's an entirely different thing to be able to say, I know that he's the Savior of the world. Take him at his word. Trust him. And if you're going through a trial, if you're going through something like that, I want to urge you and plead with you. He wants to show you something right now in the middle of where you are. And He's trying to show it to you because when you get over to this storm, you're going to need what He wants to give you in that one. Take Him at His word. Trust Him. Trust Him. I tell you before, man, I got these four kids and I just wonder if I'm totally messing up every one of their lives. And they're all going to be in counseling for the rest of their lives because of their father. You know, and they may be, but I want to be like this father. And I want to go to Jesus. And I want to beg Him and plead with Him for the miracle that we need. Maybe even one that we don't even know that we need. What are you holding on to? Pray with me. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder how many of you tonight would say, I'm not sure what I'm holding on to. I thought I was holding on to Jesus, but I'm not sure what I'm holding on to. How many of you say that? Nobody's looking around, just me. Lift your hand up and put it right back down, okay? Wow, hands all over the place. Let me encourage you. Pastor Jeff's going to be at this altar tonight. And if you're not sure what you're holding on to, do this for me. Everybody look at me. Everybody just look at me just for a minute. So many of you raised your hand. Don't leave here tonight not knowing what you're holding on to. And let me just tell you, if you feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm holding on to, that's a horrible thing. Let me tell you what that is. For most people, that's just normal. I'm not sure. Man, I hope I'm holding on to Jesus, but I'm not sure. So many of you raised your hand. I want to invite you tonight just to come to this altar and just say, Lord Jesus, I want to hold on to you. Let me tell you what I prayed. As I'm getting out of the hospital, and Jesus has just shown me that I hadn't been holding on to Him. Because what I'd love to tell you is, and so immediately when I realized I wasn't holding on to Jesus, I just grabbed on to Him. I mean, that's what I'd love to tell you, and maybe you'd think a little bit more of me and think I'm really spiritual and holy, but you know what I had to pray? Jesus, teach me, show me how to hold on to You. Because if you haven't been holding on to Him, then that could be an incredible clue that you don't know how to. And it may have been way back here you were holding on great, but something happened. That's what I feel like with me. Something happened. I started holding on to multiple things, and my hands got so full of holding on to stuff, I had to let some of it go. And you just come to a point sometimes in your walk when one of the things that you let go of what you're holding on and counting on is Jesus. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It just means you're going through a dark place in your walk where you're trying to hold on to so many other things. And when I looked at all the ropes I was holding on to, they all went out, but then they all came back and they were all tied to me. And that's what I was counting on. So I want to invite you tonight to come to this altar. And then maybe that's your prayer tonight. Jesus, teach me how to hold on to You. Maybe some of you never got past the story of a father going to Jesus on behalf of His children. And maybe some of you're trying to do everything you can. You're throwing every solution at your kid that you can, and they're not interested in your solutions. So maybe it's time to quit throwing all the solutions. Maybe it's just time to go to Jesus on their behalf. On behalf of that person you love, on behalf of that friend, on behalf of that spouse. Jesus, we love You. And Jesus, we thank You for who You are. And we thank You because we couldn't even have a sermon like this if You weren't willing for us to hang on to You. But You call us to do that. You call us to trust You. You call us to cling to You. And so, Jesus, I pray all over this room tonight, You begin to teach us, or You begin to remind us of how to truly hold on to You. Thank You that You're all that we need. Thank You that when it's all said and done, You're all that we have. We love You, Lord Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. This altar is open, and I want to invite you to come. Come now.